Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is finding living knowledge. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Welcome, everyone. Music is beautiful, little Gershwin. And the message is also beautiful. Today I want to talk about the fall of the human race and why it doesn't have to happen to you. Now, the fall of a human race is a fall to temptation in all of its various guises. You read about the first one, the first fall in the Garden of Eden. And temptation is out there in the form of teases and challenges, challenging you to make something of yourself, to be your own God, basically, to chart your own course and plan everything yourself and rise above other people and do it all like that, somehow leaving God out. And you see that everywhere now, don't you? See, God is left out of everything. I'm laughing because I went over to a popular coffee shop where I go in the morning to do some reading and some writing. And they have holiday cups now. It says, Merry Coffee. Merry Coffee. Clever. Christmas is left out. Well, Christmas is left out of things, of course, but then the Christmas that we have has already been degraded, hasn't it? It's been corrupted, although it still shines brightly in the eyes of little children. But that's another story. Right now, I don't want to talk about Christmas. I want to talk about God being left out. God is being left out, and you see the result? People somehow believe the lie that they can make something of themselves without God, that they can solve all their problems without God, and solve their health issues and their family issues and their relationship issues and their mental issues and their financial issues, can solve everything without God. Well, it's not going to work. Now, some people have a pseudo kind of a, they talk about God, but Christ said that you have to also do what he says. And doing what he says is what? Putting first the kingdom of God and loving others as you would love yourself. Let's talk about that. That might be a good topic for today's program. What does that mean? We've all heard that the great commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean, to love your neighbor as yourself? Well, I'll tell you basically what it means. You see, the human race is a big family. We're all of the lineage of Adam and Eve. We're all human beings, which means we're a body with a soul. We have a soul. Now, the human race is composed of all kinds of people, some who love God and some who don't, some who love the truth and some who don't love the truth, and so on. Those people who love truth will be of the same mind. It's a mindset of love, of not hate. It's a mindset of wanting to know the truth and to do the right thing by other people, and making that more important than your own self, your own ego. Then when you get your ego out of the way, then you can see what is the right thing to do. And then you just do it. You see intuitively, wordlessly, what the right thing to do is, and then you just do it. And that is living by faith. And that, by that, you will also do the right thing for, by way of other people. And life becomes very, 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 very simple. I'm a man with a microphone, so people ask. No, I don't have a church. I do not have a church. All that would do is cramp my style, and besides, I want to set you free. I want to set you free. Not tie you down with more church, more doctrines, more this, more obligations, more this, and more labels. People say, I'm a this, or I'm a that, or I'm a that, or I'm a this. All it does is divide you up from the commonality, the brotherhood and sisterhood of humankind. That's all it does. I don't need any labels. I'm just a person, and I open my mouth and I talk. And if what I say strikes a responsive chord, then that's good. Now, everywhere you look, you see people divided up into different political camps and different religions and different factions and different opinions and different everything. People are divided up. And then they look upon each other with envy, with resentment, with hostility, with an adversarial relationship. And they're no longer bonded together in love. Yeah, they may bond together. They may bond together in greed, in hate, in subservience, in slavery, in anger, like a crowd bonds together. Have you ever seen a crowd screaming at a wrestling match, or some rabble-rouser is there, and they're screaming and yelling? Yeah, they're bonded all right, but they're bonded together in some kind of hate, some kind of animal ferocity. But when people are bonded together in love, then they have understanding. They have a mindset of understanding. And then the different factions upon which people have divided become unimportant to them. They look upon others as their brothers and sisters, and they have no hate for them. Do you understand? So it's like in the body. In the body, all the cells work together for the good of the whole. What if one cell hated the other? What if one cell, that's right, or a group of cells got together and decided they were going to band together against the whole? Can you see how that would be? Or what if each cell just wanted to do its own thing, didn't care about the whole? Well, that's basically what you have when you have people who resent each other and hate each other and look down upon each other and condemn each other. They don't have any love. Are you with me? So, and then they bond together or band together against some other group that bands together, and then you have different groups and different gangs and all kinds of stuff. So now let's talk about the human being with the soul. Now, when this soul serves God, when this soul loves truth and loves God and serves God, then through the soul comes a unity of command in love and understanding. Then all the cells of the body come together to serve that soul, and that soul serves God. Are you with me? And so it's all harmony, and there's no injustice. Now let's talk about temptation and how it operates. How does temptation operate? Well, first of all, it suggests that you try something on your own without God. And it also suggests that somebody else has something that you want, or thinks they're better than you, or says something against you, and then you hate them. See? And then temptation puts up different things to strive for. Instead of searching for truth and wanting to know what the right thing to do is and wanting to know the purpose of your existence, it puts up other things to strive for. So those are some of the things that temptation does. And then another thing it does is it creates injustice. It creates injustice so that you will hate other people. It's another division. And in oh so many ways, it very cleverly diverts you from the unity of command to the commander, who is the good Lord. It diverts you into resenting someone else instead of having yourself focused upon doing what's right, always in every moment seeking to know what's right. Instead, it diverts you into resenting someone else and then studying them with hate, with judgment, with condemnation. and it diverts you into greedily gathering for yourself. Now, of course, temptation also operates through leaders who themselves want power, and they don't want to serve God. And so you see many countries where there's like artificial famine, where the riches of the land are siphoned off for the leaders, for the bank accounts of the leaders, and the people have nothing, and the people are starving. And then, of course, the people are forced to hunt and peck for means of survival. And so hunting and pecking for survival, never having a moment of peace. And then there's war. Yes, war. And so the people never have a moment of peace to quietly ponder about life and to find a purpose for their existence. And then look at what else temptation does. This is even worse than what it does on the outside. When you fall to temptation, when you fall to resent other people, for example, then it gets inside. It gets inside. And then when it's inside, then it never gives you a moment's peace. So then if you have a moment's peace on the outside, there's no war, there's no famine. You're sitting quietly on a beautiful afternoon in the sun. And then what? It's in your mind. It's constantly egging you on. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. You forgot to do this, you didn't do that. You've got to pay this, you've got to do that. Or it's in your mind. Why did she do that to me? Why did he say that to me? See, temptation diverts you. So now you have to find a way to back off from temptation so that it's not drawing you into it. That's it. So it's not drawing you into it, not drawing you into the emotions and into the thoughts and into the troubles. Instead, you stand back and you draw closer to God. You stand back mentally and draw closer to God. You see things from His perspective. And from His perspective, you don't have hate for other people. And you see what they're up to, and you see that they can't help themselves, and so you don't resent them. And then you're safe. And then you have the inner space and the outer space. And God gives you the time to find yourself. Reestablish your bearings and begin again to find the purpose for your existence. Did you know that my most popular book is The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage? A spiritual and practical look at relationships. My favorite chapter is How to Forgive and Forget. The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. Check it out at Amazon.com or SheddingShackles.com.
Do you have a question or a comment? Email us at SheddingShackles@yahoo.com. That's SheddingShackles@yahoo.com.
Some of you are getting the 15-minute version. It's a half-hour program, so if yours is only 15 minutes, go to SheddingShackles.com where you can hear the whole 30-minute program.
Are you experiencing stress, anxiety, or unhappiness? Do you feel weighed down by the past? Stay tuned for a special message from Roland Trujillo, host of the Shedding Shackles radio program. For over 25 years, Roland Trujillo has been helping people shed the shackles of unhappy memories consisting of upset, hurt feelings, and negative emotions that bind them to the past. Over the years, many people have listened to and benefited from Roland's positive message. Perhaps you too can discover the secret to becoming free from the past and moving forward to live a new life of joy and purpose. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, this is Jeremiah Trujillo, the producer of Shedding Shackles. I'd like to make you aware of a recent change we made on our website, SheddingShackles.com. The tabs at the top of the pages have been removed, for easier navigation on your iPhone or mobile device. Now, links are easily available at the bottom of the pages. The music example you're hearing now is the Spanish Dance No. 8, titled Sardana, by the Spanish composer Enrique Granados. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, everyone. Paul, in the New Testament, talks about putting on the mind of Christ. Do you see that if you serve Him, if you serve Him, if you do the things that He asks us to do, which is what? Not resenting other people, remembering God. Is that not simple, to remember your Creator as you go about your daily activities? When you see a butterfly, you think of your Creator and His genius. When you see a blade of grass or a cloud or the blue sky, you think of your Creator. He made it. He is the great genius who made this marvelous universe. And then you go about your business always with a delicate, how can I say this? With a delicate ear for, or an eye for, or mind for what is right. And you realize that you don't know what's right. You don't know what's right. Can you see, for example, that if you study and get degrees in psychology and physiology and theology and all these degrees, or science or whatever you get your degrees in, and then you try to use those dry bones of knowledge, whatever you've somehow memorized or what you vaguely remember from some book you read or from what some professor said, if you use that in the moment to solve some issue with your kids or your wife or your husband or some delicate moment, then what are you doing but ignoring God's wordless word in your heart? You're ignoring your intuition. You're ignoring that wordless way of knowing, that still small voice that comes to you just in time, in the moment, in real time. It's live. You are ignoring that so that you can do it on your own without God. So you're committing the same mistake that Adam made, trying on your own without God. So those thoughts tempt you. You're tempted to try to say something to impress the other person or to wow them or to show them or to get even with them or to make them admire you or to get rid of them. Maybe you'd rather go have a cup of coffee and look at your iPhone. So you just give them some false, shallow answer that you dredged up to get rid of them or to appease them. See what I mean? Now, you pander to them, use knowledge to pander to them, to get them to like you, to think well of you, to see, and once again, you're trying to divert them to see you as a god so that you get between the real God and their soul. So you try to mess with people's minds. You try to build their character. You try to improve them. You're always trying to do something to other people. You're always playing God, and then you try to solve your own issues. Try to make yourself right, make yourself good. Then you resent when you see the truth about your own weakness, your own vulnerability, your own lack of understanding. You try to do something at home. You think you have this big degree and master's degree in psychology or business or accounting or chemistry or math or something. You think you're really smart and you have some little project at home and it's difficult. You don't know how to do it. And some guy comes in a truck and he didn't even graduate from high school. And you watch him work with great skill. And he accomplishes very quickly and very well what you messed up. It's very humbling. So what you have to see, knowledge has a limited purpose. Yeah, maybe knowledge is okay for making a stew or baking bread or doing accounting or repairing some machine. But when it comes to the great matters of life and to your relationship with others, knowledge is dead. What you need is living knowledge. Living knowledge. that comes from God, directly by intuition, and you realize and see and know, and it's beautiful. So do you understand that? So, like I said, you go through life with this delicate inclination toward wanting to know what's the right thing to do in each moment. And you realize that you don't know. And you realize that if you reach into your brain for something that you memorized, it's not the place to look. And if you look to some expert or to some book or to some internet resource or to some seminar or to some guru or to some preacher or some facilitator or some talk show host, no. Instead, you quietly know that you don't know and search your heart. Then all of a sudden you do know. And what you do or what you say is just right. And it's from God. And it's beautiful. And the moment is sweet. Nowhere does your lack of intuition become more apparent than in your relationships with your partner and with your children. Another word for intuition is understanding. That's what you need, is understanding. You have precious little of it now. All you have is book learning, what people have said. You reach into your brain and try to come up with some clever thing when your partner is there or your child is there before you in one of those special moments. And you say the wrong thing. You talk at them instead of to them. Or you are guilty for having yelled at them or having neglected them or never taking time for them. And then in your guilt, you go overboard and you spoil them and you never get anything right. Would you like to get things right? Then you need to be in touch with your intuition from God, because your intuition is a package deal. You get a bonus. You know what you get with intuition? You get love. That's right. That can flow through you, not your love. Not your false, clingy, emotional, syrupy, false love, but real love. Real love that heals relationships and restores people to love again. And so I want to mention one of my books, and I think it could do you a world of good. This is an excellent book. You should get it. I think you'd find something of value in it. It's a very good book, and it's a fun read, too. It's a fun read. Hi, this is Roland. Are you interested in improving your relationship with your partner? Or how about improving your relationship with your kids if communication is not so good? Okay, and then how about getting rid of hurt feelings and misunderstandings and so on? Well, then you really ought to read one of my books about relationships and about marriage. And one of the ones that I don't talk about a lot, I should talk about more, is my book called Putting the Forever Back in Love. Oh, what a wonderful book. It's over 300 pages, Putting the Forever Back in Love. I talk about how to improve your relationship, what to do if your wife asks you to leave, how to forgive and forget, okay? How to stay married for a long time and live happily ever after. How to develop character and learn to bear suffering and grow from it, okay? And how to have understanding when you deal with other people, okay? And how not to judge your husband so much and how not to resent your wife. Well, may I recommend you get Putting the Forever Back in Love? Just visit sheddingshackles.com or talktoapastor.org. And you can preview it for free. It's also on Amazon. Putting the Forever Back in Love. I think you'll really enjoy it. Putting the Forever Back in Love. You can find it at Amazon in both Kindle and quality paperback. And you can also order it at my website, sheddingshackles.com. You can get it for a small donation of any amount. I'll send you a PDF of the book. I have a lot of resources about marriage and about relationships and about family. I have some excellent articles you can read for free. If you go to the website, sheddingshackles.com or commonsensecounseling.org. When you see the slideshow, just click on relationships or marriage, and you'll see the articles. There are many of them. They're excellent. You stand back and you draw closer to God. You stand back mentally and draw closer to God. You see things from His perspective. And from His perspective, you don't have hate for other people. And you see what they're up to, and you see that they can't help themselves, and so you don't resent them. And then you're safe. And then you have the inner space and the outer space. And God gives you the time to find yourself, reestablish your bearings, and begin again to find the purpose for your existence. So, may I recommend that you get the little meditation that will teach you how to become still and get a little separation from those thoughts that now pull you into them and those emotions that pull you into them. When you stand back, you're free to realize. You're free to understand. And you're free to be patient. And when you're lost in your emotions and your thoughts, you're not free. You are compulsive. And you move with impatience or anger or resentment. Stand back, and you will discover a whole new way of living. And you will also discover something else. Not because I say so, but because that's the way it will be. You'll discover God's gracious forgiveness and His kindness. And life becomes sweet. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.